Welcome back to the podcast, Leap Motor, D19, EV battery recycling, and China's three-year plan. Plus, stay tuned. Later in the show, I'll tell you about next-level solid-state batteries. Welcome to EV News China, the podcast dedicated to the world's largest EV market. Every day, I bring you the latest headlines, insights, and analysis from the heart of China's booming EV industry and decode how fast-moving developments in the East are shaping the global EV landscape. We'll start with the Leap Motor D19 getting its global debut, specs and tech now revealed. On October 16th, 4 days ago in Shanghai, Leap Motor unveiled the D19. This is their flagship SUV. This is absolute top of the shop, best they can do. First model on their new D platform. It's offered in EREV, range extended electric vehicle, or extended range electric vehicle, EREV, and BEV variant. And it's positioned as their most technologically advanced premium SUV. Design follows Leap Motor's so-called tech natural aesthetics, pairing intelligent systems with nature-inspired forms and user-centered proportions, with paint choices chosen from nature. Not that about that, but the paint choices look pretty nice to me. The EREV uses an 80.3 kilowatt hour CATL battery. This may be the largest battery in an EREV that I've come across in my research for EV News China. 80.3 kilowatt hours is 4 times the size of the battery in my first pure BEV. It marks Leap Motor's first cell to chassis implementation as well. For electric extended range electric vehicles, EREVs, EREVs. It's an 800-volt system, fast charging from CATL, 500 kilometers at least of battery-powered range. That's CLTC, so not real world. And the BEV uses 115 kilowatt-hour pack. Honestly, you know, for most journeys, the smaller battery would do me fine in a BEV format, but I don't do tons of miles anymore that I work from home. And so, big battery, 115 kilowatt hour. You're right up there. 115 is up there with things like the Lucid Gravity. That's 123. But in a recent range test by Tom Logney, State of Charge, he only pulled 115 from it, going from 100 down to 0%. So you're up there with that echelon of vehicle. This won't cost that much, of course. That's a $100,000 vehicle. And so they say that on the BEV, they are using 1,000 volt architecture. Incredible. 700 kilometers CLTC range, 350 kilometers added in a 15-minute charge stop, which is what we should talk about. We should talk about miles per hour or kilometers per hour, because then that always factors in the efficiency of vehicles as well. Lots of cars can charge very quickly and not be very good at being efficient. Lots of cars suck at charging. Here's looking at you, Tesla. Tesla are now so far behind everybody else in China in terms of charging the vehicles, but they make different choices. And so their vehicles are optimized for efficiency a lot of the time, and probably cost as well. But does it matter? And actually, it's cheaper to go that way because you're not burning, anything, but you're not using as much electricity to travel the same distance. Therefore, it's costing you less money. Efficiency is everything, which is what, you know, Tesla and Lucid would tell you. Now, back to the Leap Motor. Chassis and ride control include dual chamber air suspension, CDC dampers, predictive chassis control, and their dual tire blowout stability system. Leap Motor says the D19 is a tech-focused premium SUV for both EREV and BEV buyers. This thing looks fantastic as well. Styling is very much part of the Leap Motor family. Of course, Stellantis, a big investor in Leap Motor, and then Leap Motor International, which is the joint venture company, 51% owned by Stellantis, so it's not a Chinese company, are the ones selling these vehicles outside of China, and they have the exclusive rights to sell Leap Motors outside, overseas. Now, where does Leap Motor sit at home in China? Well, somewhere between 100 and 150,000 yuan. This vehicle enters them into the 250 to 300,000 yuan price bracket. So that's $34,000 equivalent to $41,000 equivalent. Again, loads of technology, Qualcomm Snapdragon 8797 chips. And Leap Motor haven't really had to cater to this segment of vehicles' requirements yet. So that's why they've gone 1,000 volt platform, really big battery. And actually, because they're able to do this really fast charging, this CATL battery is a hybrid. The way they described it is a hybrid design combining materials from both LFP, which is lithium iron phosphate, and NMC, nickel, manganese, and cobalt materials, into a single cell, an all-wheel drive system that's 540 kilowatts of power in this big six-seat, three-row SUV. And again, inside the EREV version, it's CATL's Freevoy Super Hybrid Battery. I'm not exactly sure in terms of exactly what they mean by combining bits of both batteries, but I'll go away and read more about it and educate myself. And if you are driving this car at elevation in China, trips to the mountains, if I don't know, if you're going into the Himalayas or something, this even comes with an oxygen generator. The vehicle can generate 8 liters of pure oxygen per minute itself. And they said that this can either be injected directly into the cabin or personally. So I don't know, if you have a breathing system, if you're doing some super high elevation, you have like a personal breathing apparatus, this will connect to it in some way. All right, my mind is slightly blown about that. I don't think it has any practical use case in this country, overseas, but maybe in China. And that's the final question I'll ask about this vehicle, is overseas. Will we see the D19 in the West? Well, that wasn't discussed and not confirmed nor denied. At this price range, you are up against 80 to 100,000 plus euro, you know, vehicles. And so although this would be a 40 grand car in China, you could easily double that. And I think it would still be exceptional value outside of China overseas. All right, moving on. China has adopted national standards for recycling and reuse of electric vehicle power batteries. The General Administration of Market Supervision approved 5 standards, increasing the total now to 22. The standards cover general requirements, management procedures, dismantling, and already used industry documents include things like the Vehicle Power Battery Recycling and Dismantling Specification. Pilot programs reports recovery of the key cathode active materials, so nickel, cobalt, and manganese, over 99% in some cases. Companies reporting nickel, cobalt, manganese recovery of 99.6% and lithium recovery of 96.5%, ensuring that none of the good bits of the battery get wasted. The General Administration and the Ministry of Information and Industry and Information Technology in China are forming a new technical working committee to standardize battery recycling in China, to include stakeholders from the raw material supply chain all the way through to recycling and dismantling operations as well. China has also launched a 3-year action plan to expand EV charging and boost consumer confidence, aiming to accelerate EV adoption nationwide. Jointly issued by the National Development and Reform Commission and other agencies, the plan sets targets through to the end of 2027. 28 million charging facilities and public charging capacity exceeding 300 million kilowatts, enough for more than 80 million EVs on the road. And it outlines measures to broaden coverage, raise operational efficiency, and improve service quality. Planned actions include upgrading the urban fast charging networks, speeding the upgrades of expressway service area chargers, addressing rural shortages, and strengthening residential charging provision. So even down to the individual level of ensuring that private charging facilities are where they need to be. And again, because China can China, they can do these kind of plans to say, this is the direction we're heading. And that's just a 3-year plan, which is, you know, pretty short term in the grand scheme of things in terms of China's plans. That, you know, they're over the last 20 years of their move into EV intentionally creating this market. Xiaomi is next. The electric vehicle unit of Xiaomi has delivered now 400,000 vehicles since they launched 18 months ago. Not even that. No, maybe it was. It was in March 2024, Xiaomi first launched. The CEO, Lei Jun, announcing last Thursday the company shipped more than 100,000 vehicles in Q3. And so now hitting that 400,000 number. Xiaomi scaling the production of the SU7. Waiting times have reached up to 52 weeks. And ramping the recently launched YU7, the SUV as well. They've acquired a ton more land, about 485,000 square meters, adjacent to their Beijing, or not adjacent, but near their Beijing headquarters, for their third phase of developing the factories there as well. Xiaomi is have been going 5 minutes in the grand scheme of the car industry, and are shipping some really decent big numbers of vehicles as well. Let's talk Li Auto. They're doing pretty well. There's some Chinese names that are struggling, some that need to be more profitable, some that are doing good volume but not making enough money. Li Auto has now set up their international headquarters in Hong Kong. And Li Auto is one of the companies that's actually sort of quietly getting on with it and doing really well. The Hong Kong office will serve as a regional hub for R&D, IP administration, and supply chain. Based in Beijing, Li Auto is one of the few profitable mainland Chinese EV makers, and its move follows a trend of automakers using Hong Kong to go overseas. Rivals like BYD and Zeekr already smell. They also sell their smart EVs there. Now we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about an EV museum and BYD's 1,000 kilowatt chargers overseas. Stick around, back in a mo. Now imagine a little while ago that China's had a 20-year plus plan to dominate in electric vehicles. Couldn't beat the Germans and Detroit in combustion. We're never going to catch up and overtake. And so they saw the opportunity with EVs, and it's been part of their central plan for the last 20, say, plus years. Really, they love EVs so much in China, they've now opened a museum dedicated to the history of Chinese EVs. It was opened last October, so congratulations for its one-year anniversary on Thursday or Friday. And it's called the Dai, D-I, so D-Space or Dai-Space. Any Mandarin-speaking listeners of the podcast? Any clarification would be good. Dai-Space sounds dark, doesn't it? But the Dai-Space NEV Museum, their first museum dedicated to Chinese EV culture, design and technology. BYD frames the museum as part of its commitment to Zhengzhou and to raising the city's profile for BYD and NEV production. Exhibits are organised into four sections: brand culture, craftsmanship and intelligent manufacturing, innovative technology and tech exploration, and includes more than 300 items of different aspects of the EV industry. Learn about BYDs, die-cast models of BYDs with historical and current lineups on display, and a complete display of many of the EVs on sale in China right now. The top floor, the fourth floor, hosts an interactive zone for students or visitors with hands-on activities to learn about sustainability and to demonstrate eco-friendly energy sources. Now, talking BYD, they will deploy their flash chargers to South Africa. This is according to their head of the business over here, Stella Lee. So, the first sites are due from April or May next year. So, let's talk about the system first revealed in March alongside two new vehicles, the Han L and the Tang L, 1,000-volt platform and megawatt charging. And it was all unveiled together. In June, a BYD deputy said the company aims to build a European megawatt charging network. BYD plans an initial network of several hundred stations in 2026. In both South Africa and Europe as well, targeting up to 300 by the end of Q2 next year. That's according to Stella Lee at the IAA show in September. BYD says the flash system adds 400 kilometres in 5 minutes on CLTC. A 100 kilowatt battery would go, they say, from 7% to 50% in 5 minutes. Now, I know we always talk about 10 to 80, so 7 to 50 is an odd metric, but they've done that to fit into the 5 minute time scale of that second half of that sentence. And so a 5 minute charge and you're back at halfway, which is, I mean, it's incredible. There's not much you can do at a motorway service station in 5 minutes. Some of them are so big, you can't get to the restrooms in 5 minutes. And then you've got to be back in your car immediately. I've said this before as well. I can't believe I'm saying it again. Is there such thing as too fast in terms of EV charging? I mean, no, we'll always take the speed, right? What a ridiculous thing to say. But a 5 minute charge is beyond what any normal use case would be. Now, if you're a proper road tripper and, you know, you just want to dive in, charge for 5 minutes. I've done that before. I've been heading home and I've made a miscalculation and I'm like 20 miles too short on my range. And then, you know, you're hunting for a fast charger. If I knew there was an option just to pull in and do, you know, 2-3 minutes of charging and go just to get me home, then fantastic. In South Africa, initial stations will be installed by BYD's dealer network on their land. Over here in Europe, no extra details that I can tell you about. Now let's go to Canada with Chinese vehicles. And Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney said last Thursday he will meet senior Chinese leaders in the coming months as part of a broader re-engagement between the two companies. And so part of that is whether Ottawa will lift the tariffs on Chinese EVs. America has 100% tariffs. Canada followed. There is some discussion online and debate about whether Canada will reduce or eliminate tariffs on Chinese EVs as Canada and the US move in different directions economically. And so relations have been tense between China and Canada since 2018. Two Canadians were detained after Canada arrested a Huawei executive. In August, China announced anti-dumping duties on Canadian canola, a year after Canada added 100% tariffs on Chinese EVs. The issue resurfaced after China's ambassador to Canada said Beijing would drop the canola duties if Ottawa drops the EV tariffs, prompting leaders all around, because, you know, canola is a really big deal in some parts of Canada, to talk about a deal with the Ontario Premier Doug Ford, whose province is central to Canada's auto sector, rejecting the idea of dropping the tariffs. Now, last week, the CEO of Xijing Auto, Liu Jiaming, posted on Weibo that the debut model from a new partnership between GAC and Huawei, their new brand, is called Xijing, and it completed its final design review and is entering the preparations of production, a major milestone. The styling was developed over 8 months by 100 designers from the Milan division of Huawei and their in-house team. Liu said that the design was well-received internally by younger staff. Xijing was announced last November after GAC and Huawei signed a cooperation agreement to develop electric vehicles together. And finally, Chery revealed a prototype solid-state battery at 600 watt-hours per kilogram, roughly double the current best out there of liquid lithium-ion packs, which is 250 to 300 watt-hours per kilogram. Energy density measures energy stored per kilogram of weight. And at 600 watt-hours per kilogram, the average EV, you know, would go 800 miles. Now, you can say I would make a 1,000-mile EV, but just by putting a very big battery in. So be careful with those mileage claims of this battery goes this far because, well, how big is the battery? But if it unlocks 800 miles on an average family car, then, you know, 1,300 kilometers, 800 miles, a couple of things. It's the end of combustion, obviously. And then it's kind of the end of EREVs and plug-in hybrids. Because if your car will go with a solid-state battery, which is very safe, which charges incredibly quickly, and this won't happen next year, but it's medium term, which handles low temperatures incredibly well, down to minus 30, minus 40, and you're getting great performance, why would you then have an engine as an EREV or a plug-in hybrid? Because that has to be serviced. Now, if it's a brand new vehicle under warranty, fine, whatever. But those vehicles will get old. And oil changes get, you know, expensive and boring really quickly, when you could just have the full BEV version, adding some weight to the theory that this craze around EREVs and plug-in hybrids is a bit of a flash in the pan. Now, the pack uses, and I'll say what they have said at Chery, an in-situ, okay, I get that, in place, in-situ, polymerized solid electrolyte, and I get the solid electrolyte bit, to replace the flammable liquid electrolyte, and employs a lithium-rich manganese cathode. Chery says it improves energy storage and safety. Solid-state designs remove the liquid component, and so they're far safer. They always pass the puncture tests as well. You can, you know, shoot the things. They don't have thermal events. Chery plans pilot production next year for mass EV production in 2027. Even if that was off by a period of time, that's still massively impressive. We're still talking about the next generation of cars that will be launched towards the end of the decade being, well, it just opens up as well new use cases, doesn't it? So whether that's aviation or not, or whether it's just things like pickup trucks that or working vehicles where you might not need 800 miles of range, but you might want 400 miles of range, but be chewing through the electrons very quickly. So, man, this is exciting. That's your podcast for today. Thank you so much for listening. Catch you on the next one.